They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
Hey, hey, old school, Curtis Blow, basketball, that's what we're talking.
Love that game, man.
Also, regarding sports talk, please catch Urban Media Today, talk sports, every Saturday, 8 a.m. If you can't catch it 8 a.m., you know, if you don't wake up in time, you can also catch it at 6 p.m. Again, that's Urban Media Today, talk sports. Excellent program. You should check it out. Now, let's get back to...
Hold that thought, because I got to throw a shout out talking about checking it out. My college roommate, teammate, Larry Baxter in Jacksonville, Florida, heard the show.
Wow.
And nice. Loved it.
Excellent.
He called me at 1 o'clock in the morning last night. Neil, you guys are crazy. I said, then you caught the right show.
Good.
Caught the show. He loved it. He's spreading the word to all his folks. You know, we got some – I'm glad you asked, Rock. That would be Slippery Rock University. I'm glad you asked. And let me just tell you this. The Pitt basketball team never beat Slippery Rock University in a game. You can take that to the bank. So let me tell you about Slippery Rock, brother.
They play them just one time?
No, that's not important. Just know that they never won. So,
you got to watch Bill there, right?
What?
You know, he likes to try to slide different stuff.
My man, Larry Baxter, down in Jacksonville, caught the show and loved it, man. So, it's out there. We're getting picked up across the country, and it's good to note. But, pardon my interruption, please go back to what you were saying.
And just to go back to Urban Media Today, Talk Sports every Saturday. Trav, this is your show, you and your crew. Mm-hmm. Okay, who's...
But it's our show. It's part of this channel. You're part of this network, so it's our show.
Right. But you're part of that team, mm-hmm. as far as the crew that brings it every Saturday. Mm-hmm.
We talk bad about you guys.
You talk bad about us?
Yeah, we talk bad about
you. The next time I listen, I'll have to see exactly what's going on.
Well, you know why that is, though, right?
Why is it?
Well, the JV always talks bad about the varsity.
I hear you. I hear you. Just, and I guarantee
that's
you,
that's
Bill,
always the case.
This week, I guarantee you, the question will be asked, which one is harder, golf or baseball?
You had to get that back in again. But Trev, will that be on your show?
Just because you said that, I'm going to have Coach Rock. I'm going to have him on the show on Saturday to answer the question, and I won't interrupt him.
Ooh.
I don't know.
Yeah, you got
slapped. I don't know what to say.
You got backhand on that one, brother.
Well, I don't know what to say. I'll just let it go.
While you're trying to find words, and we're going to come back to Darrell Porter, the former Pitt All-American, all-time assist leader, great basketball player. I did want to ask you because, I think that I tried to Google it. You didn't play any pro ball after Pitt.
Yeah, I played in the a couple different leagues. One was the GBA, which is similar to the CBA, was the Global Basketball Association, and then I played in the World Basketball League, where most of the teams were in Canada. We had a couple teams in the United States. And it was almost like the NBA in Canada.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So
that's not on your Google profile.
No, I didn't put it on there.
Yeah, I was looking to see that. But
did you have any slams the way you had slams at Pitt? Famous slam?
Not as nice as those ones.
The number one slam. Rock, you may not know this. Darrell's slam, he'll tell you which one it was voted the number one dunk. The number one slam in Pitt basketball history over the Jerome Lane glass-breaking dunk.
Some people's opinion.
Yeah. Do they ever show that at the Peterson Event Center?
They showed it a couple times. And actually, when we visited, we took a group to visit the Basketball Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. And when we were walking around, it came up. And then they said, Coach, you're on the thing. Okay. This is nuts. So we run over there. And then you got to wait the whole time. So then...
Yeah,
I didn't get to see it, but some of the players got a chance to see
it. Well, I saw it, and when we get off the air, maybe you can tell Kev where to find it. But it's memorable. It's memorable, and look,
Saw it the last time he was here.
No, I don't need to tell anyone that knows Darrell Porter what a great basketball player he was and could have been a Division I football player. But all that being said, I want to remind all of our listeners, especially those locally, of the passing of the late, great Connie Hawkins, former Pittsburgh Piper ABA world champion, Pittsburgh Piper League and tournament MVP, all ABA team, Harlem Globetrotter, number one first-round draft pick by the Phoenix Suns, four-time NBA All-Star, all-NBA first team, Phoenix Sun Ring of Honor, number 42 retired uniform, and, of course, New York schoolyard legend. Connie passed away in November at the much too young age of 75. And the Phoenix Suns did him good and did a service for him in Phoenix. And when he was buried in Brooklyn, New York, his home base, he was honored very well. So coming up is the only honor that Pittsburgh will bestow upon him, at least to this point. We were quite disappointed that many of the media services did not offer the kind of recognition and farewell to Connie Hawkins that a Hall of Fame, world-famous, world-champion athlete deserved. It was not even close to where it should have been. Had it not been for the Pittsburgh Courier, it would have gone in passing. Although he was not listed as one of the 50 greatest players of all time, he was at the ceremony and did receive a jacket. So to that point, coming up Saturday, May 5th, there will be a memorial tribute and salute to the great Connie Hawkins. Very, very quickly on Friday, May 4th, we'll be at the Savoy Restaurant with a reception. We're bringing in 13 members of the Pittsburgh Pipers championship team that won the title in 1968. Rock, I don't know if you got to see any Pipers games and get some of that chicken on the heel from Will back in the day. But
I did.
We found 13 guys all across the country, and they're coming in honor of Connie. So Friday, May 4th, there'll be a reception at the Savoy from 6 until, and then Saturday, May 5th, there'll be a memorial salute at the Marriott Hotel, reception at 6, dinner and awards presentation at 7. And part of that awards celebration will include this year's Connie Hawkins League Hall of Fame inductees. For 35 years, the Connie Hawkins Summer Basketball League held out of the city of Pittsburgh, and for 10 of those 35 years was ranked in the top 10 nationally. Darrell Porter played in the league, as did many others. As a matter of fact, I think it's safe to say from 1975 to 1985, anybody that was anybody in basketball played in the league, and quite simply, if you didn't play in the Connie Hawkins League, you probably didn't matter. But certainly, many leagues across the globe, and Coalition League in D.C., the Harlem Rucker in New York, L.A. Classic in L.A., certainly every city had its big leagues. And, of course, here in Pittsburgh, we had several. We had the Du Brown League and the Kennard League, along with the Connie Hawkins League. But to this point, we're inducting the following individuals in this year's Hall of Fame. Jeff Baldwin out of Duquesne, Gary Nelson out of Duquesne, Jimmy Nichols, James Ely, Gene Wilson, who's currently the coach at Western House High School and was on our show 2 weeks ago, Levi Taylor, Rico Appendanza, who I claim and credit him with being the highest jumping white boy in the history of Connie Hawkins summer basketball, and he happily accepts it. Marcus Tomlin, former great Pitt basketball star Keith Starr, is coming in from Vegas, and Keith played in the first year of the Connie Hawkins League in 1975. Nate Duck, Kevin Murphy, Marvin Bailey, Steve Vanderveer, Jarrett Warwick, Maurice Brown, and the left-hand demon out of Fox Chapel, Stu Lyons, coming in to be honored. Ezekwe Agambana, the coach going in this year, and administratively, Vicky Slater, Mike Booker, Debbie Coleman. So those individuals being honored and inducted into this year's Hall of Fame. Call 412-628-4856 for more information. Come fly with the Hawk one more time as we send Connie off in a blaze of glory with the Hall of Fame induction and the salute to the 1968 ABA World Champion Pittsburgh Pipers. There you go. I said it.
Okay, Bill.
I didn't mean to wake you up, Kev. I thought you was ready to roll there, brother.
No, I wasn't sure how many more names you had.
Well, I had to get them all out. People ask why so many people. You know why? I don't know how many more years I got.
Well, you got to do what you got to do.
Got to
right?
get them in while we can. You were going to talk to Darrell about recruiting.
So given the new hire at Pitt, Darrell. And I think we can all agree that we're happy with the coach selection. And as I mentioned before, recruiting is key to having a successful team. So based on his recruiting that he's known for, what areas do you see that there's really a lot of opportunity to recruit now since we have him on board? And he signed, if I'm not mistaken, he signed a seven-year deal.
Yeah, I think that we'll have a broader range of recruiting. He mentioned the East Coast, so the entire East Coast. When we were in the Big East, we kind of stayed in New York, Jersey, D.C. But now that includes all the states down to Florida, and Duke has been able to pull players from all over the country. So if he brings that pedigree, I think we can start getting players regionally, and then we'll be able to go nationally, and it won't matter where they're from.
Hey, Darrell, off the top of your head, is there somebody we need to be looking at? Is there a top dog available that he should be going after, somebody notable?
Well, there's always some guys available, but everyone's after them. There was a couple guys playing the McDonald's All-American game who weren't signed. So hopefully he has a connection with some of those guys, and maybe they weren't good enough to go to Duke because they brought in the number one class with the number one, two, and three players. And we'll take 17 or 20 or 50.
And be happy about it.
I mean? And that might be the one player who could get us started. And then once you get one, then you try to get a couple more. And once you get a couple players, that could change your whole program.
Now, during break, too, Darrell, we had a conversation regarding possible recruits that Pitt could have had that had a major impact on the national championship game last night.
Right. I mean, the difference in winning and losing could be getting that one player. Like I said a little bit earlier, you can get a player who's worth five games.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy last night was worth at least five games.
So,
and
put up 31 points. So we're talking Dante DiVincenzo.
Right.
And he had, I believe, what, 31 points, and he was the MOP.
Yeah, most outstanding player.
Is what they call it, the MOP, mm-hmm. for sure. The most outstanding player, I just say the MOP. And tell us a little bit about how he actually went to Villanova.
Well, when he was coming out of Delaware, Pitt was involved, Villanova, of course, and a few other predominantly East Coast teams. And then it came down to Villanova and Pitt, and he chose to go to Villanova.
So at that particular time, it was probably a smart choice for him, given everything that transpired with Jamie leaving and everything. But he could have made a big difference,
right.
him along with Cameron Johnson,
right.
and I know a couple other players from Pitt.
Yeah, if Cameron would have stayed, if Luther doesn't get hurt, now you have a core of guys who actually produced at that level, and then you win a few more games. I'm not sure if that would make you win 5 or 10 more games, but they definitely would have been able to compete. When you have freshmen, it's hard to compete. They're playing against grown men that's been around some 3 to 5 years, depending on if they redshirted, and that's a tall task.
And go ahead, Bill.
No, go ahead.
All right, just wanted to transition to the game last night because we didn't have a chance to really talk a whole lot about the game last night, Darrell. What did you think?
Well, when the game first started, both teams were playing great defense, and Michigan was getting the best of Villanova. They made a strategic change in how they were running their offense, and then it opened up. They struggled. Michigan gave them some things to work on. They made some nice in-game adjustments, and they start slipping screens, and it opened the floor up, and they were able to hit some more jump shots and get it going.
When that dude hit that jumper a few minutes into the second half, when he hit that jumper from I think he was in Steubenville when he shot it, I said to myself, here they come, because he shot that jumper 30 feet from the hoop,
it was definitely
and it was
deep.
All net. And when it left his hand, there was no doubt in his mind it was going down. I said, and I was in a room full of people. I was down at the Tim Stevens Jazz Fest. and they had a game on, and I said, "Now here they come, here they come." And you know, the thing about that kind of basketball, as Darrell alluded to, they come out, they're playing great defense. You know, in the first 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 minutes, you're wired and you're playing hardcore defense. But you got to know you can't play like that the entire game. And the thing about Villanova is when you start looking for that second win, that's when they're going to start launching them threes, because now you're getting there a split second late everywhere you get to because you're tired. You've been chasing them all night. But, Darrell, I wanted to ask you this question, having played in the Big East. You know, everyone in this room has played, been an athlete at some level, and understands what it's like to be under the lights or be out there in front of the crowd. But let me use Syracuse as an example. Mm-hmm. What was that like, man? That, I mean, when you talk, you know, like if you had played it in the ACC, I would ask you about playing at Duke. But comparably, what was it like stepping on the court at Syracuse, and how many people?
Well, every time I played, it was over 30,000 people. You play in a football stadium. It's almost like the Final Four atmosphere. There's you're covered by the court, and then behind you, there's the football stands, and there's 30,000 people cheering for Syracuse.
Just a regular season game.
It's a regular season game. And it's a unique atmosphere, and it's definitely one of the hardest places because there's no backdrop. Usually when you play, there's something that could backdrop the basket, but there it's just open. So it's almost like they were playing last night. When you play in a dome, there's no backdrop. You really have to concentrate.
Similar to playing outside?
Yeah, it's similar to playing outside. And you don't have 30,000 people cheering against you when you're playing outside.
But as far as no backdrop.
Yeah, but it gets loud in there. I mean, you could barely hear talking to somebody right next to you, and it's very important to have hand signals, especially when you're on the road and it's loud.
What about Georgetown?
Georgetown was another great place to play. All the places in the Big East were tough. I was the first class of guys that won a game at Georgetown. People had such a good home court advantage that no team had ever won a game at Georgetown before we did it. So
Georgetown was the beast of the East.
Some really nice atmosphere, some really good battles, and then most of the players came from the Northeast region, and that's what made it so good. You were playing against guys you probably played against at camp. And then if you go to a tournament in Philly, you got guys from Connecticut, New York there, D.C., Virginia. I try to take our kids now to places like that so that they could get experience against a wider range of players.
And name your starting five for us when you were a senior.
Sean Miller, Jason Matthews, myself, Bobby Martin, and Brian Shorter.
We got it done. Brian Shorter was a beast.
Oh, yeah.
Brian Shorter was an early beast. Bobby Martin was tough. They were all tough. Speaking of which, before we
Bobby's up. He's a college coach now.
Is he? Where is he at?
He's at Northeastern. Hopefully he could come back. They need to get maybe a Pitt guy back.
Yeah, that would be smart.
Bobby Martin's a great guy.
Oh, that would be lovely, but I don't know if he would consider that.
Okay.
I did want to ask you, because you made mention of your kids a couple times, remind our listeners what you're doing now, how you've resurrected the Ozanam program that the great Carl Coleman instilled in this community, and what you're doing programmatically.
Basically, we're trying to give all kids a safe haven and a place to make their dreams come true. We have after-school program where the kids can get tutoring and help. We have an SAT program now, strength and conditioning, dinner program, high school leagues, youth leagues, and basically we don't want a kid to have an excuse to why they didn't make it. They said, well, I couldn't get SAT help. Well, I didn't. We want to make sure they have everything that they need to be successful, and it's been working.
Well, the name is legendary, Ozanam. The Ozanam Cultural Center, Ozanam Basketball League, Ozanam programs, Western Pennsylvania wide. So Those of you out there across the land that are from this area, you remember the orange shirt coming at you. You can see it from a distance. So we remember Carl Coleman for what all that he offered. And I think I'm going to go out here just a little bit, Kev. Maybe not on a limb, but I'm going to say this. I was so impressed by the new hire and his presence, his, as I said before, the way he presented himself and the way he handled everything as like a veteran. I think it's going to be more than all right. I think he's going to make some things happen and right away. Certainly, we have nowhere to go but up. You know, undefeated in the ACC conference, the toughest basketball conference in America. I'm going to say this. I just got a sense that right now, you know, he's got a couple feathers that he's working on. I think he's going to turn things around quickly. I'm not waiting 2 or 3 years. I think he's going to do a couple things that make this program jump and quickly. And because two of the other things he has to be concerned about is, as Darrell alluded to ever so slightly, but I've gotten from Pitt alumni on several different occasions, and I have a little blue and gold in me. I did my master's work at Pitt, and I've been around the Pitt program since Tim Gergerich and Cleve Edwards gave me an opportunity to coach in 1978 and 79. So I got a little blue gold in me. So I care about the program as well. But you got to get the alumni back. And I've talked to numerous Pitt alumni and numerous Duquesne alumni that went away from the programs because they were losing, which I don't agree with. That's when your program needs you the most. So that Pitt alumni has got to be brought back. But the other thing that has to happen and right away is they got to put butts back in those seats.
Well, people find something to do when you're not winning.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. So I think because of where he comes from, because of his dad, he made reference to his dad at the press conference, and his dad passed away recently.
Right.
And how much that was instilled in him from his father, sounding like the kind of old school dad we've all had. And I just suspect that he's going to make some things happen right away.
Well, it'd be nice if we could get one or two players in the late signing period that could get us started in the right direction. And like I said, one or two players. There's a 7-footer available from New York. Hopefully we could get in with him. And
I'll take a 55-year-old Sam Clancy right now.
Sam's one of the few players at Pitt who has 1,000 points and 1,000 rebounds.
I'm telling you.
It's huge.
It's hard huge. To get 1,000 rebounds.
For sure.
Google Sam Clancy and be amazed at his stuff.
If we could transition, we have probably less than 5 minutes. So I know there's a lot of other things we had that we wanted to talk about, and I just want to get to some. Regarding basketball and Final Four, okay, was the best Final Four on the women's side.
Yeah.
Did you have a chance to take a look at those games?
I definitely did, and every game was overtime. Every game was close. Every game had a fantastic shot to send it into overtime or win the game. I mean, you couldn't write a script better than that. It was like a Hollywood script.
Yeah, so first of all, you had Notre Dame, who's a power, went up against UConn. Can we say that that's the past power now, because Notre Dame has really stepped it up these past few years? So that was a great game. That game was 91.
They scored a lot of points.
A lot of points.
Some big time plays.
And then you have the same young
State
lady
in Louisville
that they hit the winning shot. Arika Olabawi.
It's called Riri.
So she actually hit the winning shot in both games,
in
right?
In both games, yeah.
And she came up huge.
So
especially the shot in the championship game when they beat.
And that was contested. They beat Michigan State. When she shot the ball, I watched the young lady had her hand in her I mean, she couldn't see. She blocked her eyes and contested it, and she still made it. It was an unbelievable shot.
You know, Mississippi State, they had a real good year. They beat Louisville to get to the championship
game. And they're the defending champs. They beat Connecticut last year in the championship.
Right. So. And then on top of that, I believe Notre Dame was down 15 points in the game and had to come back.
Right.
And if you took a look at the series before, that the same series where the shot was made, I think there was, what, maybe 6 seconds left on the clock somewhere in that neighborhood? Or was it 3 seconds when she made the shot? And Mississippi State actually turned the ball over for them to have the opportunity for the shot. It was 58-58 at that particular time.
It was a couple of things that went back and forth. And it wasn't a foul called. It was a loose ball here and there, and then they get the ball out and make a great shot. I mean, it was great basketball. And anybody who's not a women's basketball fan, if they watch that or if they saw that game, they will be now.
Okay. I'm a fan of all things women, whatever they're doing. I know you're transitioning, so I wanted to offer this. We can throw this to Rock. The Pittsburgh Pirates are 4-0. And they're one of only two teams in the league, that in National League, that are undefeated. So as a former baseball player and as a Hall of Fame baseball player, where you at with the Pirates? Can we do this all season long?
Season's early. That's all I can say. Hey, they got a great relief pitcher, though. That closer, throwing at 95, 96 miles an hour.
Riviera.
We'll see. Rivera. We'll see how they hit, though. They got a hit.
So what do you think? This early stuff is a little bit luck, a little bit timing, a little bit of who they're playing?
It's premature. You can't count four games. Yeah. Let's see where they at mid-June.
Well, Kevin Cameron said they're horrible.
I won't say they're horrible.
He said they're horrible. He will not go see a game.
I will not go see a game. However, I give credit where credit is due, and they're still my team regardless of the situation. They're playing real good baseball right now. However, the competition is very weak. Detroit is not expected to have a good season. And Minnesota is somewhere right in the middle. And taking a look at the Pirates' schedule, the Pirates really, they have a weak schedule for April. So in April, I expect for them to do fairly well. So starting off 4-0 is the right step in that direction. So at the end of April, I do expect for them to have a winning record. But then after that, I do expect them to fall apart. So, Bill, we need to enjoy this while we can. <I'm okay with laughs> you know, we have
I'm
to.
I'm going to a game, Kev. You're the one that ain't going to a game.
I'm not going to one game.
I'm happy people are talking about the Pirates instead of Pitt at work.
You gotta worry about that. Big difference. So Pitt is on the right road. The Pirates, they just continue to go in the opposite direction. However, like I said, they're playing good ball. They're 4-0. They're really doing a lot of good things. But one thing about the Pirates, we talked about getting people in the seats.
All right.
The opening day attendance wasn't good. It was somewhere around 30,000. There's a 39,000 seat stadium.
But it was 37 degrees.
Doesn't matter. If you go back and you take a look at the attendance every year, this has been the lowest attended game in a while for an opening day game.
But on an up note, your Pittsburgh Penguins are set to three-peat as the playoffs start. They got two more games and the playoff starts. And I'm sure that's all anybody in this room knows about hockey.
Goaltending.
Anybody?
It's all about goaltending.
Anybody?
It's all about goaltending.
Take the fifth.
I know a little bit more.
I don't know too much, but I know it's about goaltending and making sure that Crosby and Malcolm, you know, step their game up when it's playoff time to go after the third Stanley Cup.
Well, let the record show, no matter where you're at listening to Soul Take Champions Live, the real city of champions is Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, not Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And lest you forget, those Philly fans will turn on you. They will turn on you. They eat their young. You cannot trust the Philly fans. Pittsburgh, fans are true blue, in spite of Kev not going to a game. So once again, we want to thank all of you for tuning in. We want to thank the man at the controls, Trev, and we want to thank our guest today, Darrell Porter, and The Rock, Robert Rock Robinson, for his superior golf knowledge and educating Kevin on the little that he knows about the golf
game. And we're going to have Rock back next week because we want to talk about the results from the Masters.
Okay, okay. Sounds good. If Rock is willing to come back for this kind of abuse, I don't know.
He might not come back if Tiger wins. I don't know.
I'll be back.
All right, gentlemen. Thanks for being a part of Soul Take Champions Live. And for all of our listeners, the reviews are in. The show is picking up serious heat as we move along. Now in our sixth week of operation, we brought you some of the greatest athletes in the world. The likes of JT Thomas, Robin Cole, Darrell Porter. Now The Rock joins the crew, and we'll be coming at you every week, dropping Wednesdays at 7 o'clock, Urban Media Radio, Urban Media Today Sports. It's Soul Take Champions Live. And remember, champions aren't born, they're made. And we make them better than anyone. Soul Take.
Champions Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
In your hand, you have $19.99. What could you do with that? You can fill up your gas tank. Stop by a local coffee shop. You may need to add a little bit more to that. Maybe a matinee ticket to the movies. Matinee, though. What about subscribing to UrbanMediaToday.com? Now think about it. For just $19.99, you'll receive exclusive podcasts, interviews, entertainment updates, sports reports, and more. A VIP subscription to Urban Media Today is more than just a magazine subscription. It's access to the urban lifestyle. UrbanMediaToday.com is your only source for HBCU sports. Plus, you have direct access to awesome prizes like gift cards, swag, concert tickets, and your $19.99 supports another minority-owned business. That's pretty cool, right? Log on to UrbanMediaToday.com right now and subscribe for just $19.99 a year. Not a month, not a week, but a year. You've always wanted to be a VIP, right? Well, here's your chance. Subscribe today for just $19.99 at UrbanMediaToday.com. You can thank us later.